Jairam children, welcome to this week's Children's Hour. It's so delightful to be with all of you on this very special day. But sadly, I don't have Ganesh with me this evening. But on his behalf and on the behalf of all the members of Radio Sai, I wish all of you children a happy and holy Vijayadashmi. Oh yes, children, today happens to be one of the most auspicious festivals in the calendar. As I said, it is Vijayadashmi, but it has another name too, and that is Dashara. In the later part of the program, children, you will be listening to a wonderful story that explains why we call this festival Vijayadashmi. Sumana Madam will tell us this mythological story and its inner significance. But before that, I am going to tell you why we celebrate this festival with the name Dashara. Well, you all know the Ramayana, don't you? At least most of you would have heard the story already. In brief, it is the story of Lord Sri Rama. He was an incarnation of God, whose divine mission was to vanquish the Rakshasas, or demons, who were troubling the pious people in the world. And the prime Rakshasa was called Ravana. Do you all know about Ravana, children? He was a very mighty king, very evil too. He was the king of an island kingdom called Lanka. Apart from being an evil Rakshasa, he also was a very learned man. It is said that he had mastered most of the fine arts. But what is the use of having all that knowledge, children, if you don't know to treat with love those around you? That was the mistake Ravana did. He thought, since he was so knowledgeable and learned, he could do anything and that everybody should fear and respect him. The Lord took the form of Rama to kill this evil Ravana. Oh, it is a very long story, children. Do you know, people tell the story of Ramayana for several days continuously. That's how long and rich a story that is. In fact, we did play one drama for you about sage Valmiki, the poet who wrote an epic poem describing the Ramayana as it happened. I'm sure most of you must remember that story. Alright. So going straight to that part of that story that is important for us today. Finally, Rama went to Lanka, the kingdom of Ravana, engaged him in a long and fierce battle and defeated him. And the day Lord Rama defeated and killed evil Ravana is celebrated as Dashara. Why that name? You know, children, Ravana had 10 heads. Can you imagine that? 10 heads. It is to signify his immense knowledge and, of course, immense pride too. Swami would say that the 10 heads stood for the 6 Shastras or scriptures and 4 Vedas. He had mastered all of them. And because of his 10 heads, he was called Dashamukha Ravana or even Dashagriva Ravana, meaning the 10-faced or 10-throated Ravana. And the day he was killed became Dashahara or Dashera, as we celebrate it today. So this day, Dashara, is celebrated to mark Lord Rama's victory over Ravana. Isn't it a very, very special day? And children, as Swami would say, it is very important to remember God and chant any name of God, at least during these festivals. In fact, festivals are here to remind us to think of God and do prayers. You know, otherwise in our busy schedule of school, special classes, music and swimming classes, tennis coaching and all these activities, we completely forget God. So children, let us remember God in our mind and follow Swami himself in this very, very beautiful Rama Bhajan. Shall we, children, on this very beautiful occasion of Dashara, why not we start it with this beautiful bhajan sung by Swami himself?
Prema mudita manasikapo Rama 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 Sri Rama Rama Rama
Thank you.
ಮಾಟೆ ದುಃಖ ಮಿಟೆ ಬೇತ ರಾಮನ ಭವ ಸಮುದ್ರ ಸುಖದ ನಾಮ ಏಕ ರಾಮನ ಪರಮ ಶಾಂತಿ ಸುಖ ನಿಧಾನ ದಿವ್ಯ ರಾಮನ ನಿರಾಧಾರಕ ಆಧಾರ ಏಕ ರಾಮನ ಮಾತಾ ಪಿತಾ ಬಂಧು ಸಖ ಸಬಹಿ ಕಾಮನ ಭಕ್ತ ಜನರ ಜೀವನ ಧನ ಏಕ ರಾಮನ ಭಕ್ತ ಜನರ ಜೀವನ ಧನ ಏಕ ರಾಮನ
don't know about you children, that definitely is one of my favorite bhajans. You know the meaning of that bhajan, children? It's a long bhajan. We may not have the time for the whole meaning today. Maybe I will tell you the meaning of just the first line. It goes, Prema mudita manase kaho, Ram Ram Ram, right? Prema means love. That I'm sure all of you know by now. What does the word mudita mean? Mudita means delightful or joyous. So the line means with mind that is filled with love and overflowing with joy. We must chant the name Ram Ram Ram. Oh, isn't that nice, children? You don't have to cry and have a sad face and pray. Oh, no, no, no. Swami never liked that. Swami would say, don't keep that castor oil face. We must chant God's name and sing bhajans happily. With joy and vigor. That is what Swami likes. For that, we should keep our body and mind always healthy. Because if our body is not healthy and mind is not calm, how can we be happy? Imagine, you've eaten too much and you're having a stomach pain. Can you sit with a smile and sing bhajans for Swami? Not possible, isn't it? Or let us say you have an exam tomorrow and you've not prepared for it. Will you be able to concentrate on God? So even to worship God, sing bhajans, or for that matter, to serve people around us, we need to keep our body and mind healthy. Well, for the mind, we tell you a lot of nice stories and tell other important things that Swami has taught all of us. But for keeping the body healthy, we have the Doctor's Talk segment, isn't it? Almost every week, we have doctors coming and talking to us about facts relating to the human body and good habits and practices that will keep us healthy as well as happy. As part of that, last week we had Dr. Prashant, the dentist from our general hospital, speaking to us. He told us about the teeth, the different stages in its development, and also some good practices. Well, we split that talk into two parts, so today we will listen to the second part. In this part, he starts talking about one very common problem which is related to the teeth, and that is bad breath. Okay, now let me not tell you what he is supposed to tell you. So over now to Dr. Prashant, the dentist from R. Sri Sathisai General Hospital.
You may be having bad breath. So this bad breath is also due to the food lodgment, and after it decays properly, then only the bad breath comes. This also, if you brush your teeth properly, or if all the fillings are properly done, or if the gum health is properly taken care, then bad breath may not be there. And one more thing, one more reason for, common reason for bad breath is not cleaning your tongue. Tongue has to be cleaned with the tongue cleaner. Morning, while after brushing immediately, tongue has to be cleaned. So, otherwise there will be food particle, whatever we take, it will be deposited on the surface of the tongue. There will be coating on the tongue. So, that will also create bad breath. Of course, there are so many hundreds of reasons for bad breath other than the oral cavity. You may be having some gastric problem, due to that also it may come. But normally, because of gum and teeth decay, the bad breath may come and the tongue has to be cleaned. Another important disease we can call, what is prevailing in this region, is fluorosis. That is the fluoride content in the water what we intake. And more importantly, during the stage of development of tooth, I told from the age of six weeks of the embryo till the 6.5 months. This is very important. And the permanent teeth, again, it will come at the age of 6.5 years. So after that, so in and around from the beginning till the age of around 10 to 12, the food what we take, the water we take, how much calcium we get completely determines the strength of the teeth. So fluorosis also, the water what we take, if it contains more than 1 ppm parts per million of fluoride content, then it is a average required percentage is 1 ppm. But in Andhra Pradesh, there are so many areas where even up to 900 ppm fluoride content is there. Then when the fluoride mixes with the calcium and the calcium content will get altered, and the normal percentage of calcium will not be there for the tooth. So the strength of the tooth will be altered. The color also, the teeth surface will not be smooth and shiny and whitey. It looks like brownish or chalky white, and it is exposed to more the tooth will be brittle and decay will be easily the microorganisms can attack the tooth. All these problems will arise because of fluoridated water. So we have to make sure we drink the water which contains very less amount of fluoride. If not 1 ppm, up to 10, doesn't matter. So these are the commonest diseases which affects the teeth. Coming to preventive aspect, all we know, the brushing technique is very important. And normally people say, I brush twice, thrice a day, but in spite of that, teeth decay comes. So here, number of times and how much time you take for brushing, maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes, doesn't matter. The way of brushing, how do you brush, is more important. More importantly, the bristles should be smooth or extra soft. Or extra soft bristles, they will be written in the cover. Soft, extra soft, or medium and hard. Medium and hard should not be used. Either it should be soft or extra soft. With this type of toothbrushes, and for children, they'll get pediatric small brushes also. We have to use this soft brush, and you may even brush just for 1 minute, that is enough. Morning and night we have to brush, especially during the time of night. And while brushing also, from top to bottom, that is from top end of the tooth, if that is upper top end to the lower bottom, we have to brush in the vertical fashion, not in the horizontal fashion. Normally we brush horizontally. If you brush horizontally, irrespective of our brushing techniques, it is actually the wrong method we are adopting. Because of that, tooth will get eroded or abraded. It will become thin in a matter of few years. And at the age of maybe when we are 20 or 30, the teeth all, the outer layer, what is called enamel, it will get thinned down and sensitivity starts. So all these things are difficult to treat. That is why once enamel is gone, it is permanent. It won't come again. When once teeth are formed, unlike any other organs, it will not grow with, for example, teeth has come and the formation of development, everything has stopped. Then whatever amount of calcium is applied on the surface, or you take whatever the amount of milk, it is not going to help in any way. So only prevention is to be taken at the time of development. That is why I told at the beginning itself at what time the development of a tooth starts. So as far as prevention is concerned, we have to brush twice or thrice, or after each meals, or after each food intake, we should just gargle, and so that at least the food particles will not stay there for a long time. And from top to bottom, vertically if you brush, the abrasion due to brushing will be minimum, and teeth will be throughout, the enamel will be intact, and we don't, and if as long as enamel is intact, that is the hardest substance in the body, as I already told. So the decay also will be very less. This is very important. And any decay or any sensitivity, any food lodgement, then we have to seek the help of dentist. Parents also should take care of the children. They may not be knowing all these things, even though if you tell, they may not be able to understand. So it is the parents who have to take care of these things. They have to see whether a child has brushed properly before he sleeps. If, of course, as we know, if decay or if sensitivity is there, treatments are plenty and dentists can do all those things, but prevention is always better. We can have good set of teeth. Then one more important thing is something called malocclusion. At the age of around the age of 12, all the teeth would have come. Normally, the size of the teeth will be determined genetically. For example, if the arch size of the person, if he gets it genetically from the mother and the size of the teeth is from the father, there will be impairment. Size of the teeth will be bigger, the arch size will be, jaw size will be smaller. So in such cases, there will be the teeth which are going to come at the later age cannot be accommodated. It is like in a bench where five people should sit. If the bench is small or if the people are little fatty, more people cannot accommodate, five people cannot accommodate. So there will be crowding. So the crowding of teeth is mainly because of this reason. This has to be taken care by the parents properly. So they have to seek the help of dentists. It can be treated by a person called orthodontist, and it is by putting braces, or many times if the milk teeth has not gone in its proper time, and if the permanent teeth has already come wherever place is there, then the crowding can take place. Though see, this can be, if the child is made to visit dentist for every 6 months, all these things can be noticed by the dentist, and he will guide what has to be done in what time. So parents have to take care of and bring the child once in 6 months regularly. Moreover, the chewing and the aesthetic purpose, apart from all these things, the importance of teeth lies in, they determine the shape and size of the jaw even. If the teeth are removed at the early age, it affects the jaw growth, it may be shunted. So the alignment is proper. If all the 20 teeth are there till all the permanent teeth erupts, then the jaw size also will attain in a better way. So in all the ways, the health of the primary teeth is very important, and it has to be taken care. And of course, by the age of 12, the child also will be knowing many things, and he can take care of his teeth properly. So with this basic knowledge, I have simplified the whole thing for the children to understand, and I think this is more than enough at this age. With this, I'll come to an end. Saira.
Thank you, Dr. Prashant, for that very enlightening talk. Children, as the doctor told, it is very important to take good care of our teeth. Imagine, almost everything that we eat or drink has to touch the teeth and only then go into our body. If that is not kept clean and healthy, it will affect the whole body, isn't it? So, we all must take very good care of our teeth. Children, as the doctor explained, when we have some problem with the tooth, first we try to treat it. Well, even before that, we must brush regularly to ensure that no tooth develops a cavity. But let's say that one tooth has developed a cavity. So what do? We first treat it by going for a filling. But if the tooth is very bad and it starts to decay, we will be forced to pull it out, right? Why do we do that? Because its presence starts affecting the other good teeth around. Same is the case with evil individuals. First of all, we must ensure that each child is taught values and brought up to be good individuals. Still, some people go astray. Such people should be corrected and transformed. But in the ancient times, there were few individuals who would go from being bad to worse. They would become so evil that they would start hurting innocent people. And when that happens, God will himself take to the task of vanquishing that evil person. One such case is what I told you in the beginning of this program. That is, Rama vanquishing Ravana. This day, Dashara or Vijayadashmi, also marks the killing of another evil Rakshasa. That even is what gives this festival the name Vijayadashmi. Well, now it is time to listen to that story. And as I told you, this mythological story is going to be told to us by our Sumana madam. Though I said God himself comes, children, in reality God is beyond our description of a man and a woman. In fact, in this story, God comes in the form of a woman. He comes as Devi. Okay, let me not tell you anything more. We will listen to the story from Sumana madam.
Sai Ram children. Children, today we have celebrated the 10th day of Dashara. You know, it is also known as Vijayadashmi. Vijayadashmi literally means victory on the 10th day. But what does it mean? Now listen to this story. Once upon a time, there lived a demon, an asura by name Mahisha. He found great happiness in hurting people. Once, he decided to pray to Lord Brahma to receive a boon that would make him invincible, ever victorious. So, Mahisha performed severe penance, praying and fasting for months. He stood on one foot throughout the penance. The three worlds trembled under the strength of this penance. Then the pleased Lord Brahma appeared before him. The Lord of creation asked, "O Mahisha, ask me a boon and it shall be granted." Immediately the demon Mahishasura asked for immortality. He didn't want to die ever. Now, how could the Lord grant him this boon? So he explained to the Asura that every creature that was born had to die one day. So a thoughtful Mahisha decided that he would ask for a modified boon that would make him as good as being immortal. If the Lord couldn't grant him the boon directly, he would get it by hook or crook. So he asked that no man should be able to kill him, and if he had to die ever, it should be only at the hands of a woman. Mahishasura was sure that no woman could ever be a match to him and fight him however strong she might be. The Lord smiled, blessed him, and disappeared. Now this Mahishasura assumed that he was invincible. So he and the other asuras continued their assault with renewed energy. They went about hurting and killing people on earth, and then went to the heavens to fight the gods. Indra, the king of gods, rushed out of Amaravati, the capital city, to fight the demons. A fierce battle ensued between the devas and the asuras. Even Indra's most powerful weapon, the thunderbolt, could not withstand the force of this attack. And in no time, Mahisha had driven out the gods and taken over Indra's throne. Mahishasura started harassing all pious people who continued praying to Vishnu or Shiva. He wanted to be worshipped as their new god now. His followers, the smaller demons, attacked temples and gave orders that all Shivalingas should be replaced by idols of Mahishasura. The gods and people were very depressed and decided to ask Lord Shiva for help. When Lord Shiva, Vishnu and Brahma heard about the suffering, they were enraged. That anger caused intense flames of fire that gushed out of the eyes of Lords Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. The radiant energies merged. It formed a mountain brilliant like a million suns. And out of this mountain, Goddess Durga, the most powerful, took shape. She was fierce to look at as the goddess took birth through the angers of God. She was to be the answer to Mahishasura. The devas and the people prayed, "O Mother, the source of all strength and our protector, please destroy Mahishasura." Then Lord Shiva drew forth a trident from his own trident and offered it to her. Lord Vishnu offered his chakra, the evil-destroying discus. Indra offered his thunderbolt. Varuna, his conch. Agni, his spear. Vayu offered his bow, and Surya, the sun god, offered the arrows. Kubera offered his mace, and Vishwakarma his axe. And finally, Himavan gifted a mountain lion as her vehicle. In each arm, she carried a weapon offered by the gods. She mounted the fiery lion and roared. It was a roar that shook the mountains and created waves in the seas. Even Mahisha, when he heard it, was worried for a second. But his vanity took over when he saw that it was only from a woman. At that moment, this asura fell in love with her and sought to marry her. The goddess Durga too promised to marry him, but there was a condition. And what was that? If he defeated her in the battle, then she agreed to marry the demon. In a trice, Mahishasura assembled his army. goddess Durga created thousands of soldiers from her breath to fight Mahisha's army. It was a war scene now. A terrible combat ensued and continued for 9 full days. On the 10th day of the battle, goddess Durga's mount, the lion, tore through Mahishasura's army, destroying thousands of asuras. Seeing this, Mahishasura was furious. Using his superpowers, he assumed the form of a huge mega-sized buffalo and charged towards goddess Durga, billowing. He trampled on Durga's soldiers and lashed at them with his tail. Goddess Durga flung a noose at him. But Mahishasura shook himself hard and now assumed the form of a lion. As he rose into the air to pounce on Goddess Durga, she chopped off his head in one swift move. Next, Mahishasura immediately transformed himself into a huge elephant, and the furious goddess chopped off his crown. Mahishasura was not giving up yet. He again assumed the form of a buffalo. He snorted loudly with rage and rushed towards Goddess Durga. The mother had given him enough chances, and now it was time to put an end to this evil called Mahishasura. As this demon rushed towards the Goddess Durga, she leapt upon him and pinned him down. And as he struggled to set himself from the buffalo form, she killed him with her sword, delivering the earth and heavens of the demon Mahishasura. As she annihilated Mahishasura, Goddess Durga is also known as Mahishasura Mardini, the slayer of Mahishasura. And now, you also know why the last day of Dashara is called Vijayadashami, the victory on the 10th day. Children, these mythological stories are not mere tales. They have a lot of significance. In all of us, there are good and bad qualities. Now try to recollect, and in a faint voice, we all hear that always guides us. That is the voice of the conscience. It warns us just when we are about to do something wrong in any situation. That takes support of the buddhi to choose good and wins over the desire to do any wrong act. This desire to do wrong is like the Mahishasura in us. Praying to Lord Sai to bless you all kids on this auspicious day, it's bye from me, Sai Ram.
How did you all enjoy that story, children? So, that is why we celebrate all the 9 days preceding the Vijayadashami festival, and we call it the Navaratri. As you heard in the story, the form that God took as Devi fought with Mahishasura for 9 nights, and on the 10th day was the day on which he was killed. And that is why it's a 9-day celebration, and that celebration ended today. And children, did you listen carefully to what Sumna Madam told in the end? We should not think, oh, I am not as evil as Ravana or Mahishasura, so I don't have to worry. No, children. Swami would tell that in the modern age, no one person is completely evil, or no one person is completely flawless. Each one of us have both good as well as bad. So, what we hear as asuras in such stories are nothing but the bad qualities in us. For instance, all these Rakshasas had a lot of pride in their strength. We all have such pride, isn't it? Once in a while at least. Also, these asuras or demons would be selfish and jealous. These again are qualities which sometimes props up in us. So, we must make an effort to remove these feelings. So just like how with the help of God, these evil individuals were killed, we too must take the help of God and destroy these evil qualities in us. There are two ways we can do this. One is to do Namasmarana, that is, chant the names of God, sing bhajans, or if you like it, chant some verses or stotras. So to keep God in our mind for as long as possible in a day is the first thing to do. Do it by chanting, by singing, or by reading such stories from our epics. While the next is to do God's work. How to do God's work is the question, right? Well, you have to become a partner of God. That's the whole idea, right? So, you have to share the work of God. Now, what is work of God? God's work is to help the poor and remove the suffering of those in pain. When we do service, we become partners to God. We will join God's team. If we do these two things, with time, we will be able to deal with all these little demons inside us. No one is a match for God's might, isn't it? Alright children, well, that was all about Dashara. But how can we conclude our children's program without hearing even one child's voice? Oh yes, so it is time now for a short children's conversation. Well, few weeks back I spoke to two children, two brothers in fact. Today, we will listen to the conversation with the elder one. Okay children, over now to the children's conversation segment.
Sairam brother, what is your name?
My name is Saish.
Saish. Okay, Saish is from?
Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi. Which class do you go to?
Seventh.
Seventh class. So is this your first trip to India? You come here very often?
Yeah, every year.
You come every year. So what do you like about India then?
Apart from food.
You like the food, yeah, that's interesting.
Tasty food.
So what's your favorite food, cuisine? You like South Indian, North
yeah.
Indian, Maharashtrian?
No, South Indian.
You like South Indian food?
Mostly idli vada.
Idli vada. You don't get that in Abu Dhabi?
We get, but Indian taste is better.
Indian taste is better. So what's your mom's best item she cooks?
Dal. For me.
Dal. So when you grow up, what do you want to be?
Engineer.
You want to be an engineer? So engineering is like huge ocean. What do you want to be? What engineer do you want to be?
I have not decided yet.
Not decided. But why did you decide that you want to become an engineer?
For fun, like.
Lack of options, is it?
Yeah.
Why not a doctor?
He wants to become a doctor, that's why.
I don't want to be a doctor, I want to be a police.
So that is Charan butting in. Police officer?
Yeah.
Why a police officer?
Because I'm bad people, I want to catch it.
Bad people you want to catch, so you want to become a police officer?
Yeah.
But your brother wants to become an engineer, he doesn't want to catch bad people. Why a police officer does not interest you?
Night duties and all. That's why waste of time.
But you know what? Engineers seem to be working in the night more than policemen nowadays.
Yeah. Police are like, it'll frighten you a lot. Like, anytime anyone can kill you.
My God.
That's what.
So do you go to Balvikas?
He doesn't go. I go.
You go? Which third group?
Third group.
So what do you like about Balvikas?
This September I'm going to go to third group.
Okay. So you've been going from when you were a kid?
Yeah.
So what's nice about Balvikas? I mean, do you... You should tell me honestly. Do you
feel
bored going to Balvikas class or do you like...
No, I like. Because of yoga. Mm-hmm. Then because I do yoga once in a week.
Okay.
Then...
So did you do anything special for yoga day?
No.
You people didn't know? So what yoga do you do?
Surya Namaskar.
Surya Namaskar. So how many do you do?
Huh?
How many do you do?
Two.
Two. So you like doing yoga?
Not that much. Like slightly.
You felt anything, any benefit after you started doing yoga?
Yeah, my weight.
Your weight, it came down?
Yeah.
And that's a tip to all our children who want to
lose weight. They will feel fresh also.
You feel fresh. So you do pranayama also?
No, not so much.
You do only yoga. What else do they teach you in Balvikas there, Abu Dhabi?
Yoga, then the slokas, and slokas, then stories and all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
So you get to learn about Indian mythology through Balvikas?
Yeah.
Do you learn about other religions also?
Not so much.
Not so much. But do you have interest? Have you read the Bible or something? Have you read?
No, not even Bhagavad Gita.
Not even the Bhagavad Gita. Okay. You know a fair idea about mythology? Ramayana, Mahabharata?
No.
You don't know Ramayana?
No.
Then you said, what kind of stories do they tell you in Balvikas?
Like that Sai Baba story is Chinnakatha and all like.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are your favorite subjects in school?
Maths and science.
Maths and science. Why do you like maths and science?
It's necessary for my future, like job, engineer.
So it's not like you like maths.
I like.
What other languages do you learn? You learn English, of course.
English, Hindi, then Arabic.
Arabic?
Not so much.
But you can speak in Arabic?
Yeah, very little sentences.
So say a couple of sentences in Arabic.
What is your name? Masmuk.
Okay.
My name is Saish means Ismi Saish.
Okay.
That's all. Then.
So suppose you have to say that. This is a very nice place.
I don't know so much. I just know this sentence, that's all.
So you go to, which school do you go to in Abu Dhabi?
Abu Dhabi Indian School.
So the school has only Indians? Or you have
only Indians.
From other
nationalities? No, only Indians.
All of them only Indians? You don't have people from other nationalities?
No. In Abu Dhabi Indian School.
Okay. So in your locality, you have people from other countries?
Yeah, many.
Europeans?
Yeah.
Like? Which country?
Lebanese and then UK people and many other.
Okay. So you've come here since you were a little kid?
Yeah.
So you remember seeing Swami?
Yeah, two times.
Twice. Which year was that?
2005 and 2009.
2005 and 2009. You came as part of Balvikas or something?
No.
SSC group?
No. Holiday.
You came on holiday. So what do you remember of that trip?
I was a kid. I just don't know anything.
You don't remember anything like that?
I just saw Baba, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Your parents have been coming here?
Yeah.
Anytime you looked at your father and you felt that, you know, this quality of dad I like?
I like all qualities of my dad.
If I were to ask you, what are those qualities?
He brings everything for me and...
Something like the way he lives, is there anything you like? No? Is he very disciplined?
Yeah, or, disciplined.
Like?
Cleanliness and if he's doing, if he's taken a job, he just does it that time itself.
Okay, he's very punctual.
Yeah, punctual.
Does it immediately, doesn't procrastinate.
Yeah.
Okay, how about your mom?
She cooks, that's all. That's only the great thing about my mom. So and she teaches me also.
Right. She's a homemaker, she doesn't...
No, she works.
She works?
School teacher.
Okay, she's a school teacher, then it must be a lot of effort for her.
Yeah.
Right? Have you ever wondered how she manages time?
No, but early morning at 4 o'clock she wakes... Not 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock she wakes up and does tiffin for us and all. That's the nice thing of my mom.
So she wakes up at 5 every morning?
Yeah, Abu Dhabi time.
Okay. So that's quite early. What time do you wake up?
Something like 6:45. Because the bus comes at 7:30.
So your mom wakes up so much earlier than you?
Yeah.
You never asked her why?
She has job, that's why.
So it's okay. You say that that's how your moms have to wake up and do.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So if one day your mother says that I'm not waking up early, do what you want, what would happen?
Nothing. I'll take money and go to canteen and eat.
Okay. So second day, third day, fourth day, if it happens?
I'll tell my dad to cook for me.
So if your mom does not wake up one day, then your whole schedule goes.
Yeah.
Right? You should be really grateful for that.
Yeah.
So your dad's a good cook?
Not great. Okay.
Manageable.
Yeah, manageable.
So you like cooking?
No.
You don't like cooking, only eating?
Yeah.
Like all of us. So what is the boring thing about cooking?
You can't do whatever you want, like mixing and all that, hot.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I don't know anything about cooking. Mm-hmm. I just know to make chapati.
Okay.
Just chapati.
So you live with your grandparents?
Yes.
They live with you or they live in India?
No, in India.
They live in India. So you visit them every year?
Yeah.
You like visiting them?
Yeah.
How old are they?
My grandfather is 80 years and...
80 years?
Yeah. Then my grandmother is something, I don't know.
So you speak to them in...
Yeah.
In English and...
No, Konkani.
Konkani, that's your native...
Yeah, language.
Language. So they must be really looking forward to every year.
Yeah.
When you come.
Yeah.
So what's special when you go?
Over there my mom, my grandmother does my favorite food and she takes me wherever I want. My grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. My grandfather helps me a lot and he looks after me a lot.
So you like your grandfather a lot?
Yeah.
Better than your father?
No, my father more.
So you like to be like your father when you grow up? You want to become like your father?
Yeah.
You want to become like your father?
Yeah.
Okay. So nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. So have a nice trip. You're going back today?
Yeah.
Okay, have a happy journey.
Thank you.
That children was Saish from Abu Dhabi. You know children, one thing which Saish told set me thinking. When I asked him what is special about what your mother does, he said, oh, well, she just cooks for us. When I asked him further, he said she also goes for work and has to wake up as early as 4 in the morning to cook for them. Well, that is not easy thing to do every day of the year, isn't it, children? Though this looks like a simple act, it is not at all so, children. And we must learn to value these little things that our parents do for us. As Swami would always say, the primary virtue we must all learn is to show gratitude to our parents. I am sure all of you, and including Saish, knows it, but sometimes we take it too lightly. Swami would say, when you are not able to value what your parents do for you, when you can see what they are doing for you every day, how will you learn to value what God does for us in an unseen way? How will we learn to love and show gratitude to God? So children, never think that what our parents do for us is too simple and it does not need to be recognized or acknowledged. In fact, the gratitude that we show to our mother and father actually reaches God. So children, from the celebration of God in a motherly form, we conclude with celebrating our mothers as a form of God. With that, I do have to take your leave. But I will definitely join you all next week, with Ganesh of course, for a fresh episode of Children's Hour. Till then, all of you be good children and of course have a lot of fun. Sayonara children. Hey.
സത്യസ്വരൂപിണി ചൈതന്യകാരിണി നിത്യനീരാമയെ കൈ തൊഴുന്നേ സത്യസ്വരൂപിണി ചൈതന്യകാരിണി നിത്യനീരാമ
Thank you.